The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed you. He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's our right. That's our license. There's a scripture to eliminate every excuse. Amen? And I've just been in a land where there are plenty of opportunities to make excuses, plenty of opportunities to feel uncomfortable, to feel a chance to quit, to want to just get out. But also a country that is wonderfully rich in culture, that captures every part of you, that takes your sight with color, your senses with rich scents, your ears with the sounds of different languages. You know, there are 14 languages in India, 14 official languages, and over 300 unofficial different dialects. Thank you. So it's good to be home. I feel my heart is so full. I'm just bursting from the seams. I feel just overwhelmed and content, but also I don't feel content because I feel there's so much to do. There's so much to keep working. I'm not come home to roost. I've just come back to what I know, to bring what I've learned, and to continue to learn and to continue to understand about the fact that the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And there is such a full earth that we have been put in. And there is so much for us to do. And we have a choice. We have a choice to sit and be Sunday Christians. We have a choice to stay in our comfort zones. We have a choice to do what we've always done. We have a choice to continue to look back and make excuses. We have a choice to justify ourselves. We have a choice to not do what we feel the Spirit of the Lord is telling us to do. And we have a choice to stay miserable. And I couldn't do it any longer. I couldn't do it any longer. I decided to do India because I had to get out. I had to run towards God, like I said last night. Because I know everything else I've tried in my life just leaves me disappointed. And the game, the church game, the God game, we've all done it. It's going to end eventually. And you might end before it does. So, whoa, I feel fired up today. And I have 10 minutes. But so India is on the verge of a breakthrough. India is on the verge of God pouring out his anointing on that great place. I didn't really touch on it as much as I wanted to last night. But that place is so ready for the anointing. That place is so ready to feel the oil of the Lord poured over it, the oil of gladness. That place has such an opportunity to stay where it stayed because it's such a place of religion. There's such a stronghold of religion in that country. But you know what? The anointing breaks the yoke, and the anointing is going to change India. The anointing is the only thing that's going to change India. Like I said last night, they don't need just more missionaries going over there with handouts. They don't need missionaries going over there preaching little sermons. They need the anointing to break through. They need just a hint of what we are soaked in all the time. We can't take it for granted. We have to begin to release it. And you know how it's released? Being squeezed, being put under pressure. And I woke up this morning with a scripture in 2 Timothy 2:3, enduring hardness like a good soldier. And what did Jonah speak about? He spoke about the battle. And what did Pastor Don speak about this morning? He spoke about that what you're feeling is God. So many times we keep saying, poor me, and dwelling in this self-pity when God is trying to get you into a place to squeeze you to see what's going to come out. All of us are going to be squeezed in our life. And if there's nothing to come out, you're going to be very bruised and broken and cracked. And just like Dad said last night, either fall on the rock and be broken or have it fall on you and be crushed, because one of the two will happen. There is no pause in life. There is no middle ground in life. You're either growing or you're dying. And these are not cliches. These are things that I've heard my entire life, and I found them to be true for myself. I found them to be true for my testimony, for the word of my testimony, for what I know will get me through my times in life, because I know there are things coming. I know that we are in a very difficult time. We are on a battlefield, people. This life is not ever going to go back to the 50s of pearl necklaces and vacuuming in high heels. This is a time where people are in crisis, where women are marrying women, they're not staying home and raising their babies. This is a time when we are in the greatest fight of our lives. And we are so well equipped. Let's look at the tools that we've been given. Let's move on with victory. Let's not sit around reading the news and getting discouraged. You don't have to go to India to get this. I didn't have to go to India to get this. But I had to be shaken out of my comfort zone. I had to choose, is everything I've heard for my 29 years true? Am I going to trust it? Am I going to make it mine? Am I not going to sit back and watch other people get a breakthrough and just think, oh, good for them, same old, in 2 weeks they'll be back where I am? Why do we have such a desire to pull people into our misery? Why don't we have a desire to encourage people and push them forth in victory? It's so easy to wait and see someone slip up. It's so easy and comfortable to feel, oh, good, they're back where they started. Oh, good, they slipped up. Oh, good, they're the old so-and-so again. Why aren't we pushing each other and encouraging each other? Because we need to be conditioning ourselves for what's happening in this world. You know, I felt like I got to India so ill-prepared, and it was a crash course 101, and I had to make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to dive in? Am I going to do this? Or am I going to be here, away from every comfort, away from every familiarity, away from everything I know, with no BlackBerry to call all of a sudden if something comes up? Am I going to trust on the lifeline that's with me all the time? God didn't find me in India. I found him. God's been with me this whole time. God is with us all the time. Are we going to get rid of our distractions and our comforts? Are we going to take the cushion off our seat and feel the wood? I know better than anyone what your flesh will do to your life. How much your flesh will dictate and master you and try to take over any second, any inch you give it, it will take a mile. You know, there's people who don't know about comforts, and all they have is God. In these countries, these Christian people, all they have is God. And yet, they don't understand the anointing. And it's such a sad fact, you know, it's like they have their salvation, but they don't have the full package. We have the full package. We've understood it. We've tasted God. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and we have. But just like when you eat too many sweets, all of a sudden everything starts to taste the same. But when you share your sweets, when you're bringing joy to other people, when you're feeling use, when you're giving out and getting poured in, giving out and receiving, then the full benefits of life are reaped. And I'm not saying you all have to buy an airplane ticket to get a life change. That was my experience. That's what I had to have happen for me. I've lived a peculiar life, so I needed a peculiar fix. But this is a time to not be comfortable. It's a time to endure hardships. It's a time to put ourselves somewhere where we will be squeezed to see what comes out. What do we spend our lives doing? Trying to get to know ourselves, trying to do self-discovery. I met so many people in India who were on these meccas of spirituality, coming to India to find some connection with themselves. Who am I? Why am I here? I talked to so many people from all over the world about that very topic. And they come to a country spiritually dead, the one place that they should never go. They come there for spiritual discovery, and it's not even there. Talk about deception. Talk about we have the light in a world of darkness. Talk about anything you know is more than a billion people, pretty much. Talk about wanting to go somewhere where they don't even know America. They've never even heard of America, some villages. Some places I stepped foot in, I was the first white person. I was the first white face they ever saw. I mean, that blows your mind. And never heard of America? This is what's out there. This is part of our inheritance. These are the things God wants to show us. This is the way he wants to open our eyes. He wants us to feel the squeeze. Because whom a father loves, he chastens. Whom a father loves, he disciplines. He doesn't want us to keep running back to everything that's comfortable to us. I know I did it for so long. And there's still temptations. You know, I come home after 3 months of being inundated with this type of reality. And I still want to sit on my computer. But there's something in me. There's a nagging in there now. My spirit is getting overrunning the flesh. My spirit is saying, come on, what is this? This is going to be 10 minutes of waste to your life. This is not bringing anything to your life. There's no satisfaction in it. I've been eating all my favorite foods. There's no satisfaction in it. I've been seeing my car, the roads, the area, New York again. There's no satisfaction in it. It was a brief moment of comfort. And now I feel that the rub again. I cannot settle back. We cannot settle. We cannot do what we've always done. This world needs you. This world needs you. I need you to work with me. You need me to work with you. We have people to touch. We have difference to make. We have anointing to bring to the four corners of this earth. Beyond anything else we can bring, India needs the anointing of God. They need to understand worship. They need to understand exalting the Lord above their problems. Treating the Lord as a father who hears them, not as some God afar off that they need to beg and plead and never understand. Religion is such a stronghold. I went to so many churches. I don't know how many churches I didn't count. Probably safe to say at least 60 churches I went to, I visited. Anywhere from 15 people to 7,000 people. And the thing missing was I didn't feel that anointing of God. I didn't feel that taste of glory. And it broke my heart. That broke my heart more than any leper I saw, more than any orphan I saw. The fact that they have a God who they don't understand, who they don't know how to connect with, broke my heart. That tore me up inside because it's such an easy remedy. You can't go to India expecting to fix the world. You can't go there expecting to give to every mouth that needs food. But you can go there with the glory of God because we are carriers of his anointing. We are vessels of his anointing. And when we are broken open, that is what we have to give. And that never runs dry. And that's never endless. And that's what breaks the yoke. And that's what brings healing. And that's what brings contentment to people. And that's what saves their lives. And that's what brings back hope to the hopeless. We cannot go with our own strength. We cannot go expecting that any theology we've learned or life experiences we've learned or hard knocks that we've encountered will do anything. Begin to soak yourself in the anointing, people, to change your world, your mission field. I'm not talking about India now. I'm talking about your mission field. We're coming into a time where people need to see the supernatural. Because they will not care. When you are in a hopeless place, I dealt with a serious depression of where you don't care anymore. You don't care. Everything puts a sour taste in your mouth. Everything makes you sick. You just want to get through that day. I felt that. I know what that's like. And I was with God, choosing not to allow his anointing to heal me. Looking for something else. Going to therapists. Taking medication. The ways of this world. We are carriers of the presence of God. What a privilege that is. Think about that. We were speaking last night about the Holy Spirit. To me, if you're saved, it's just foolish that you're not taking advantage of the Holy Spirit. It's foolishness. Many of you know when I was there, February 13th, I was involved in a fatal car crash, and the man that I had gone to India to work under, his anointing and work with his ministry was taken, was killed. You know what got me through that time? Do you know when I woke up to that accident and hit my head on the front seat? I immediately began speaking in tongues. It's like I didn't have a choice. My spirit took over. And it's the only way I got through. As I spoke in tongues, clarity came. As I spoke in tongues, the panic ceased. The fear wasn't allowed to come in because there was no space for any fear to come in because there was a fullness coming out. When you are pouring out, there is no room for anything else that is not of God to come in. If I look back on that night, I get such mixed feelings. God, how did I get through it? God, you saved my life. I walked out of that crash with one bruise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I thank you publicly. I thank you publicly, Father, that your hand is on my life, that your hand is on all of our lives, because he's called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. He doesn't care what we have to bring. He doesn't care how well you speak. He doesn't care how much you know. He wants to know, are you willing to spend time to invest in his anointing? Are you willing to carry his anointing? So when there is a breaking, so when there is a crushing, his anointing comes out, because there is no skill or no talent that is worth coming out. No one cares about your talents. I'm sorry, they don't. This world is full of Hollywood stars. We see them come and go. Every magazine, every week is a different face. And now the faces are all changing because everybody wants to be the it thing. The world isn't even satisfied with them anymore. This world is an insatiable monster. The only thing we have in our life that will never run dry is the anointing of God. Our lives will end. Our grace lifts from time to time. Sometimes our health fails, but the anointing never changes. So why aren't we investing in the most infallible place in our lives? Woo! I don't know if this is Sunday morning preaching. You know, as I began to speak in tongues, on that ground, in the dark, in a country far away, thousands of miles away from my family. I didn't know where I was. No one spoke English. The only person I knew who spoke coherent English had left this earth. I couldn't let my mind overtake. I couldn't let my mind absorb what was going on around me. My spirit had to come into first gear and take over, into first place and take over. And I remember after, you know, I held it together. I didn't fall apart, and it was just the grace of God going through that situation. And when I came back to my room, I fell on my bed just weeping. But I wasn't weeping any sadness. I was weeping because Pastor Augustine got to see the glory of God and be in the glory of God. And I was so excited for him. I was weeping for that, like tears of joy. And there was some tear of relief too, but the predominant feeling was a cry of being overwhelmed for this man who gave his life for the gospel, who missed the birth of his 4 out of his 5 daughters because he was on the mission field somewhere, who gave everything he had. Their family sacrificed their life for the gospel, and he was getting such a revelation of God's grace and how that he was justified and predestined and called and breaking away from the religion that everybody in India suffers from. It is a suffering, the religion there. The people are suffering from religion. It's a work-based mentality. So we have to go into that place, or you have to sow into that place and send people to go, because the need is great. The need for the anointing is the biggest need there in India. And once that breaks open, once that river starts to flow, there's nothing going to hold that country back, because they are some of the most hospitable, giving, loving people you'll ever meet. And when they start doing it because they know they're doing it because of the grace of God, because there's a God who loved them first, and not because they have to do it for work or some kind of acceptance, I just can't imagine just the bounty that's going to come out of that country. There is going to be a bounty coming out of India, and we are going to be part of it because we have tasted this anointing, and we are going to be carriers bringing it in there. And it will take all of us. It will take some to go. It will take some to sow. But we are all together going to be a part of the breakthrough in India, of the harvest in India, of the bounty coming out of that great nation. So, don't fight being uncomfortable. Don't fight the rub. Recognize it as something that's perfecting you. Recognize it as something that's making you all that you can be in this army of God. It is a battlefield that we're walking into. Every day I saw sights that I could not believe, that I could not put together. Because our American minds are so limited. We're so used to what we know. We're so comfortable in our lives. Go somewhere that makes you uncomfortable. That might be Broadway for half of us in this room. Go somewhere where you're afraid to minister to someone. Because greater is he that's in you than he that is in this world. You can do all things. There isn't a scripture to eliminate every excuse. Talk to someone who's going to challenge your thinking. These are all getting out of your comfort zones. These are all ways to be building the anointing in your life, investing in the anointing of God. It's so interesting to look at and see so many familiar faces. It's very surreal. I pray God puts you somewhere where you look out and you don't see familiar faces. I pray God puts you somewhere where they don't understand what you're trying to say and you have to rely on God. I pray God puts you somewhere where your sleep is interrupted by being overwhelmed about your surroundings. And all you can do is pray and ask God, what is this? Lift this or show me or release this or do something, God. There is no more time to waste. That's my prayer for my life. That's what I'm personally walking out now, redeeming the time. Because I know I can get very caught up with walking in shame and condemnation for having come from the background I've come from and the opportunities I've been afforded and the revelations that I've heard and seen in my life and yet wasted years. So no one has excuses. We must redeem the time. The time is short, the harvest is great, and the laborers are few. Let's not be in the few category. Let's get involved with the bounty that's coming. Keep trying to wrap it up, but it's not wanting to do it. I was mainly based in Hyderabad, which is central southern India, and I got an opportunity to go up north to Delhi, to Agra, where the Taj Mahal is, to Varanasi, which is very famous. A lot of celebrities go there because it's just some crazy psychedelic spiritual experience, supposedly. They go and they take yoga and they drink chai and they do God knows what else. They seek gurus and holy men. And I was fortunate to be able to go there and see it, and it's such a trip. I mean, it is the most surreal thing that you've ever encountered. It's all kinds of people from all over the world. You go down to the Ganges. Anyone heard of the Ganges? It's the holy river. Well, they call it Ganga. You know, it's this holy, it's like an entity to them. It's like a deity to them. It's a god. The river is a god. And every day, hordes of people come down, and they actually bathe in this water. Yeah, sounds nice and refreshing until you see the water. The water is the most putrid, gray. It's like death. That's really all I can experience. It stinks. It's polluted. It's filthy. And here come hordes of people, young and old, from babies to old men, coming down to bathe in this river because they feel it's making them holy, because they feel it's washing their sins away, because they feel it's bringing them closer to some nirvana. They're drinking this water. Down upriver, there's a cow bathing in it. Further upriver, there's someone using it as a restroom. Further upriver is the burning ghats. That's where they bring their dead to be burned and sprinkle their ashes into the Ganga. Because they believe if you're burned at the burning ghats, your spirit goes directly to nirvana. And people spend their life savings to buy wood to be burned at the ghats. And they serve a demonic force. And they submit to this. I can't explain the feeling. Because we have life, because we felt life, because we understand what the life of God is. When you're submerged into death, everything stands out to you. Everything is uncomfortable all of a sudden because our eyes have been opened, the scales have been lifted. And these people walk around in complete deception and complete darkness, and it's really tragic. And I saw this one that, you know, when the Bible talks about unclean spirits, I witnessed some unclean spirits there. And it really opened my eyes to how bad people need Jesus and how much the light cleanses us from our darkness. But this old man, I don't know how old he was. He was just nothing to him, long gray beard. He had just his little cloth on. He walked down to the river. He reached in and grabbed a scoop of mud. And I just thought, oh, Lord, what is he going to do with this, you know? I was with my cousin, and we're just watching from this boat. And he just plops it on the cement, grabs a big scoop, and just starts rubbing it all in his gums, brushing his teeth with this mud. And I'm just thinking, this is what their God expects of them? This is what they're doing to get attention, to go to nirvana? And we get to be benefited. And we get to sit in his anointing and feel clean. That he's washed our sins away. That we don't have to dwell in this filth. It's pretty intense. You know, and I saw so many different people from all over the world, and I know why they were there. I don't know how many people were there for on a mission like I was. And I just thought, they're just sitting here taking all this in, and I don't really know if it's going in. It's probably so overwhelming and surreal to them. And I'm glad I only spent one day there, because anymore I just began to feel like, I can't explain it. One day was enough just to see it. So don't live in the filth when we don't have to. Let's not waste any more time striving with our own works, building up ourselves to offer people, because that's not what they need. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I know that you have not given us one thing that is too difficult for us to handle. Lord, that we can walk through everything with your grace, that your grace is sufficient for us, Father. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord. You've called us to go from glory to glory to glory. But there are those in-between times. Father, where you're dealing with our hearts, Lord. Where we have the choice to change our attitude. Where we have the choice to give up looking in any other direction and look towards you. Lord, I just pray for those people in this room that are in that limbo, that are fighting it, that are fighting this. And maybe some are going as far as brushing their teeth with mud. We thank you for your anointing in this house. We thank you that you have called us to be a people who are anointed, who are chosen to carry your anointing, Father, in earthen vessels, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we will go through the times of brokenness with victory still, because we know you are perfecting us. We know that you are creating us into the people that you want us to be, because we must be prepared for the times we're walking into. Lord, you're not going to sabotage us. You're not going to get us involved in something we can't handle. But the longer we fight the inevitable, the miserable will be. You've called us to walk in joy, Father. You've called us to walk in victory, Jesus. We will not cheer other people on any longer. We choose to get our feet wet. We choose to pick up our cross daily, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Why did you tell us that if it's not going to happen? And during the fear and the trembling, Lord, we submit. We submit, Father. We give our lives to the potter's hand, Father. We don't fight the design. We don't question the designer. We thank you for India. We thank you for what you're doing there, Lord. I thank you that you are pouring out in those people in a whole new way. I thank you that you've called us to be a part of that. That we have an opportunity before us. And we choose to do something about it. Thank you, Jesus.